sampled it from him, but it's not the same bass line.
You can get in serious trouble for copyright infringement.
You got an Oreo going.
Yes? Copyright is not doing crap!
Copyright? What's copyright?
It's the right of the owners to control.
Right now!
You know what time it is.
Welcome to
the copyright
experiment.
Hello, hello, welcome to another episode of The Copyright Experiment. You're tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM. This is The Copyright Experiment with myself, Autonomy, and DJ Mochi over there. Oh yeah, no, there you go.
There we go.
Yeah, and today we have a special guest in the studio. We have the passenger. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
So we're going to do a chat with Passenger. Do you want to introduce yourself first?
You did. My name's Jesse.
Okay.
I go by the Passenger, but that's it.
Cool. Jesse is a local Vancouver electronic musician. Sound all good to you?
Yeah. Synth geek.
Synth geek.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you want to tell us what kind of music you make?
Yeah, I guess it's all like electronic music, you know. It's kind of I make a lot of ambient music and a lot of somewhat dance music, or I guess you'd call it IDM music from like the turn of the century, if you want.
Yeah, I call it that.
Mm-hmm.
All like kind of like analog equipment stuff. I love analog synths, drum machines, so it's mostly like that.
Cool. The reason we wanted to have you on the show today was because you're you make music that we like.
Nice.
But we also, the show is focused around, current issues in copyright, and we play exclusively free music on the show, and you actually give away a lot of your music through SoundCloud, Bandcamp as well. Yes, all those platforms that we love to get our music from.
You can pay for it too on iTunes if you want.
Yeah.
I usually put up both links.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just, pay for it if you want or take it.
Right. Okay, so that was our first question is why do you choose to do so?
I want people to hear it. And if you have to kind of hear it or have been exposed to it before you pay a dollar for it, even in a quarter, 25 cents is even too much to ask if you don't know you're gonna like the music.
Really?
So I don't know. I generally pirate everything. If I want it, or I'll buy it on vinyl or whatever. So I want people to hear the music, so I'm going to give it away. I just want people to share it and hear it and not have to feel weird about whatever or having some lame iTunes restrictions or something. Have it, give it to people. I want people to hear it. I don't want people not to hear it. What's the point in that?
Yeah.
I guess that's why you make music, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so you kind of mentioned that you also have some releases on vinyl. Are those what's your there's kind of a general fascination with vinyl now, and it's had a resurgence in the digital age. What's your take on that?
Well, it lasts a long time. Nothing lasts a long time except for vinyl, it seems. CDs last about 30 years, 25 years or so before they oxidize, and then you have to chuck them unless you just don't open them. But again, what's the point of having a physical medium if you can't use it in the future or pass it down or whatever? I like things. I like collecting things, and vinyl's a good one because you get big album art and you can give it away or sell it, or it's got some kind of attachment.
Yeah, there's definitely something to it you just can't replace with having it.
Yeah.
Like iTunes playlist, whatever.
Or, you lose a drive. You lose X amount of data. You don't bother downloading whatever, and then that time you want to listen to it, it's not there.
Yeah.
Or it is there on Grooveshark. You have to pirate it.
As hosts here, we also collect a bit of vinyl, and for me, who has grown up essentially in almost entirely in the digital age, for me personally, I like to have vinyl because it's just it's just a physical copy of something you love. Rather than a name buried in your iTunes playlist or whatnot.
I mean, there's so many times that I'll pirate something, and then a few weeks later, I'd be like, I'm gonna get the record of this because I like it enough.
Well, there's some kind of weird prestige with having it.
Yeah,
where you're just like, oh man, you have that on vinyl. Yeah. You know, like, where did you get that? Or it's, oh, that's the first one. Like,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
a lot of the like Warp stuff, like the first reissue, now that their warehouse burnt and they're having maybe 4 or 5 months okay. ago, one of the main warehouses in England burnt down and they lost all their backstock. Like, and a lot of the masters and stuff. So they've had to, that's why they're reissuing all of it now.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, like, all the early Warp stuff is worth a bunch of cash. Hmm. And people are like, oh man, you have boards, you know, like,
yeah.
you know, like yeah. you have that Square Pusher 12 on, you know, like.
Yeah. I think there's also, now that in the digital age, everything is infinitely copyable. There's, you know, there's no limited edition or anything. Yeah. The idea of vinyl becomes that much more intriguing because it's inherently mm-hmm. limited.
Yeah.
And there, you know, you have to go through quite a process to actually press something on vinyl
yeah.
as opposed to burn a CD.
Well, and my first record was like a 7-inch and I pressed it myself and I gave them all away. So mm-hmm. like I pressed 300 of them and I'd just bring 5 or 10 with me every day mm-hmm. and give them to people on the street, people I thought whatever look cool or whatever I'd yeah. be like, hey
cool,
you know, you have a record player, oh awesome, here take this, and just cool. not say anything. And yeah. it's like, it's basically like Christmas for me every day because so I'd cool. see friends and I'd be like, oh yeah, here's the 7-inch, and then I'd give buddies like 2 or 3 of them and be like, just give them to people that you think will like them mm-hmm. and then I'd go to places like the Sally Ann or any vintage shops or whatever, and whenever they had records I'd just slip one in.
Yeah.
And then whenever I went to record shops, like, well, any record shop, actually all of them, I'd slip one in their 7-inch pile, right? So like not tagged or not priced or anything, but you know, eventually someone's going to be flipping through it and find it, and they'll yeah. be like, oh, what the fuck, and this one doesn't have a price on it, take it up, and they'll be like, $5 or yeah. whatever, and then they'll listen to it and really pay attention and fucking right. love it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And that happened a lot. So I actually ended up maybe a couple of years later really reaping the rewards from that 7-inch because people tracked me down on the internet and really? Were like, where did this come from, you know, like
yeah.
found, you know, because of course there's always on the record, if you look at it at an angle, you can see the press number, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you can track that back to okay. wherever the plant was and try and find what the release is and then mm-hmm. look it up on Discogs, all that kind of yeah. crap, right? Yeah. And then be like, oh, it's Vancouver, you know, and find it.
Yeah.
Right. And so then find somebody that's got it, right? And since they were all numbered too, they were like, oh, I got this one.
I got this.
Know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, people wanted to buy them for a long time. And I was like, I don't have any. I gave them. They're out there.
Yeah.
You got to find them. They're here in the city somewhere, you know?
We'll so even with your vinyl, you're giving those away too.
That yeah. The first 300 of those I gave away. Yeah. Or there's only 300 of them. They're out there. Yeah. I've yeah. got one, you know. and then my LP, the one that's in the library there, I was trying to sell as best I could, but I've given at least 100 or 200 of those away.
Yeah, so it sounds like
it's money.
Digital vinyl, it's kind of a
money coming out of my pocket. Like,
yeah,
you know, I want I want people to have it. I want yeah. people to listen to it. I want yeah. people to enjoy it. I don't want to hold on. I don't want a fucking 500 copies of the thing.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard the music.
Yeah.
You know, I want it out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So often when people are traveling too, I try to give them 5 records and say, hey, just give these to a local shop that you think is cool, or you know, whatever. Whenever yeah. I meet foreigners, I'm like, here, have one.
Cool.
and they take it back, and yeah, they'll email me or mm-hmm. find me again and just be like, hey, this was awesome, like blah 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 or whatever.
Yeah, it's cool that you're getting a response from that too, just from yeah. throwing it out into the ether.
Yeah, for sure. And well, the really exciting thing with the 7-inch especially is people would care about it. They wouldn't yeah. if you were out on the street and giving somebody a CD, say like you see a hot girl or something, you're like, here, have this CD, they're gonna be like, oh, some fucking guy trying to pick me up or whatever, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And then they're gonna listen to it. Maybe odds are they're not gonna listen to it. Odds yeah. are they're gonna put it in their bag or whatever. 2 weeks later, they're gonna be like, fuck, this is still in my bag, and chuck it, right?
Yeah.
Or like put it somewhere.
Yeah,
it's gonna collect dust, and then they'll eventually chuck it. If they're hoarders, it'll be years, right?
Mm-hmm.
But odds are they won't listen to it.
Yeah.
Record, if they have a record player, they're not gonna throw it away because instantly it has a value.
Yeah.
You know, instantly they're like, this is, you know, this would have cost me $10 in a shop
yeah.
or whatever, right? So they'll actually pay attention to it, and the odds of them enjoying it are way higher.
And you know, similarly with like a digital download, if you just give that away.
Yeah, it's like, okay, fuck, I'll listen to this at some point, yeah. throw it on the iPod, it goes on shuffle, maybe one day you're like, oh, that was a kind of cool track,
yeah.
whatever. Mm-hmm. But again, you don't sit down, put the record on, and listen to it.
Hmm. Cool. Yeah, so you also have your latest release. I guess it's your latest release is on the More Than Human little boutique imprint, which is run by Gareth.
Gareth Moses.
Yeah, Gareth Moses, who actually runs a show here on CITR.
That's awesome show.
We actually like it as well. And you want to talk about that release at all? From the other stuff?
It's amazing. I mean, I met him at a show. He came to a show of mine and asked me if I wanted to do this thing, and because he wanted to put a label together, a boutique label that was kind of like a, just like a library records, you know. Yeah. So they have that kind of style to them where it's like a, you know, those old archive records, you know. Mm-hmm. And he wanted them just like a really nice boutique, really nice design. And we got together and talked about it, and he had a lot of ideas for design companies and stuff. And I told him how to do it on the cheap, but that's not at all how he wanted to do it. So, I mean, I'm kind of glad that he didn't listen to me, because I was always trying to cut corners to get the best result for the right price. But he just went for maximum quality, which I'm really happy he did.
But yeah, it makes for a really prestigious product.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he got really cool art, you know, and a really cool design. And the guy that designed all the logo and everything is actually getting a lot of blog press, actually more press than the music has gotten.
Yeah, I've actually seen it on a blog before, the logo design.
Yeah.
And yeah, I have to agree that the design is, it's interesting in that it's very low key. It's very, you know, modern in the way it's laid out and everything, but it's still very eye-catching, which is
it's one of those things that maybe, you know, 10 years from now or something, somebody completely removed from Vancouver's electronic scene or whatever, we'll see it and be like, wow, that looks awesome. Yeah. and then buy the whole series, or see one in the series and think, oh man, I gotta check out what else is on that.
Yeah.
You know? and then find it, you know.
Cool. We also want to talk about remixing. So you have a lot of remixes on your SoundCloud.
Yeah, that's kind of where I put all the remixes on SoundCloud.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And as well as some like kind of stray singles and stuff up there.
Yeah, whenever I finish something and I don't really have a place to put it, I like to put it up on SoundCloud and share it with people, just so, you know,
so you can hear.
So I can, so it can be there.
do a lot of your remixes get commissioned?
No, basically like how I've been doing it so far is like I'll play a show with a band, and then if I like the band, I'll ask them if I can do a remix.
Cool.
Or if, you know, often what I do is go through people that add me on SoundCloud, and if they have music that they've made up on SoundCloud, I'll listen to it. And when I like it, I'll ask to remix it. Like the Francesca Belcore one, which I'll play later.
Yeah.
She added me, and I was like, oh, weird. She's got like 10, 15 tracks up here. And I listened to him, and I was like, hey, this is awesome. Sent her an email, and it turned out that we had a lot of mutual friends, and she sent me the thing, and then I loaded it up into Ableton, and the next night I was done. I was like, oh, man, this is awesome.
That's cool. You
know? So when they come together that fast, it's really nice.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're getting good response just kind of reaching out to the fellow artists in your community, I guess.
Yeah, well, and we in we have a recording studio called Canmark, and it's in what is kind of referred to as Greenhouse Studio from here in Vancouver, but it's called something different now. It's called Song City, but there's a lot of smaller studios inside this large studio facility, and a lot of the bands that go through there, you know, we just hang out all the time. There's a smoke pit, we're all chilling or whatever. We check out each other's projects, and when, you know, when somebody's excited about something, they play for somebody, and then you're like, oh, well, can I do a remix? So the Fur Trade one is Steve Bays has a studio in our studio building, and so I listened to that, and I was like, hey, this one's awesome. I woke up within my head one day and like, hey, can I remix it? And he was like, yeah, of course, awesome.
There you go.
Cool. Yeah. Same with the Drugs and Dreams one, actually, there in the studio too.
Do you do many like bootlegs or anything like that, or is it mostly talking to people?
Yeah, no. There's no, I mean, the only time I'll do a bootleg is when they don't want to use it. You know what I mean? And then I'll just call it a bootleg.
Yeah.
Like the Gang Signs remix I did, they didn't like it initially, or somebody didn't like it, and they asked me to do another one. And I was like, well, no, I mean, this is it.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't like it, I'll just keep me in mind for future stuff. Right. I'll do one in the future that'll be better or different, you know, more to your liking. I liked that remix.
Yeah.
I actually really liked it. I had a lot of fun. I tried approaching that remix a lot of different ways, and then when I tried it that way, all of a sudden I was having fun and it was awesome.
Yeah.
And I finished it, you know, when it gets done, then that's how you gotta follow it.
Right. Yeah. So that was the release on Hybridity.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm actually talking to Hybridity about maybe putting something out in the future on that label.
Very cool.
Awesome. I like those guys.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're good guys. Yeah, well, next thing we want to talk about maybe is how you produce music, or how you perform it. Is it fairly similar how you produce and perform? I know your live show is very hardware based. You bring a lot of
it's all hardware for me. I mean, the computer I record onto and edit on. So what I'll do is I'll set up, say, 10 or 15 machines kind of thing, and have them all locked together and all running together, and then in like kind of like a big pod or something, and then I'll multi-track that to Ableton. And record, say, like 20 minutes of just jamming on all the equipment, you know, and then I'll try and trim it down to 3 or 4 minutes or however long it feels right.
Cool. Do you find that to be, it seems like it's kind of like a spontaneous production thing, which seems to lend itself well to performing live?
Well, basically every time I'm in the studio, it's almost like I'm practicing for live.
Yeah.
Just because you just get so familiar with the equipment that, you know, when you go to play live, you think about a setup that you want and like a loose arrangement that you want, and then you just work with the gear the whole time, you know. So the more that I work with the gear, the easier it is for me to play live, kind of thing.
Right. Cool.
So does that same kind of setup work for you when you're doing remixes of other people?
No, it's always different. Always different. Generally, I take away all the music, and just get grab the vocal and then start putting back the music.
Cool.
And then, because I like to make the music.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Anything else you want to talk about? Either of you? You have anything coming up working in the works?
Well, yeah. Actually, there's some cool stuff. The remix that I did for Village is coming out on the B side of their let's see what it's called. It's called Stranger Thoughts. The song's called Stranger Thoughts, and it's coming out on a 7-inch on Kingfisher Blues. And my remix is on the B side, and they're having a show. I believe it's November 18th, and so I'm going to play there. And it'll be fun. Cool. And then Kingfisher Blues is also putting out a 7-inch of mine sometime this year, hopefully. We'll see. Or yeah, I guess it's scheduled for this year, but it'll probably be like January, February, or something.
All right, sounds good. I guess I had one more question. So a lot of your music is made, you could say traditionally, with hardware, and you kind of jam out for a while and you come up with something you like, and the way you distribute is a lot online and some vinyl, but there's a lot of stuff
pretty much all online. I mean, I've only got the 3 records.
Yeah,
it'll be 4 soon, and then 5 hopefully by the end of next year or whatever. It's all online. We're completely online these days, right? So when it's on vinyl, I still want it to be distributed online, just so people, again, so people can hear it and people can have it, you know. If it's only on vinyl, that excludes, you know, everybody.
Yeah, I mean,
not quite everybody, but most people, 75% of people.
Great say, like, barrier.
My mom, for instance, she you know, she's not going to listen to it on her turntable anymore, you know.
Yeah.
She does want the copies of the vinyl, and I do give them to her and everything, but she's going to listen to it online, or she's going to listen to it on whatever.
It's ironic.
I burn it to her on a CD, so she listens to it in her car, you know. But it's like she'll keep it in that format, but when she goes to listen to it, she's not going to listen to it that way. So, you know, people, I want to hear it, you know. It's just that's the first place they're going to do, and then when they enjoy it, they're going to buy it on vinyl,
or, right? So you've kind of embraced these new distribution platforms just because it's, you know, it's a convenient way for everyone to hear it.
Well, it's the only way to do it independently. I mean, unless you pay somebody to distribute, or, you know, or you pay for the service, which I can't afford. I spend all my money on equipment. You know.
Cool. All right. So we're going to play some ads, and then when we come back, Jesse's going to play us some music for the next 40 minutes. Once again, you're listening to CITR 101.9. This is the Copyright Experiment, and we have Jesse, a.k.a. The Passenger, in the studio with us. Stay tuned.
This Halloween, CITR is proud to sponsor Sussoween, taking place at Fortune Sound Club, featuring Lil Texas and Bar Lee. Plus, the Chapel Sound crew will be spinning all night alongside the Can I Live DJs. Dressed to impress in your most daring costumes, Fortune Sound Club is going to be transformed into a Halloween acid trip. Acid trip, acid trip, acid trip, acid trip, acid trip, acid trip. Be sure to pick up a limited early bird ticket being sold at Zulu, Beat Street, High Life, and Red Cat Records.
Do you need someone to talk to? If you are seeking a listener who is non-judgmental, confidential, and familiar with resources, then a Speakeasy volunteer might be able to help you. AMS Speakeasy is a peer support service located in the North Concourse of the sub. If you would like to speak to someone, come to the desk and tell a volunteer, or ring the doorbell located behind the desk.
AMS Food Bank. Your access to money during the studies at UBC will most likely be limited, but it is a priority of the AMS Food Bank to ensure your access to food is not. The AMS Food Bank provides emergency food relief 7 days a week for all UBC students. To volunteer with the food bank or for inquiries about how to take advantage of the services provided, contact them at foodbank@ams.ubc.ca. For more information, find the AMS Food Bank on Facebook or feel free to visit anytime across from the Wellness Center and Sprouts.
Yeah, it's your man DJ Tamil, and when I'm up in Vancouver, I'm chilling and listening to 101.9, the best station in the whole Canada. What? I said it.
All right, welcome back. This is the Copyright Experiment. How we doing here?
We're doing good.
Let's see. Yeah, there we got some levels there. So Jesse, the passenger, is going to be spinning us some tunes in the studio for the next 40 minutes or so. It's coming in.
Yeah.
All right, sit back and relax.
Isn't easy. Isn't easy. Isn't easy. Isn't easy.
Seattle. You were born here.
You are listening to CITR 101.9. This is The Passenger playing some tracks for us on the Copyright Experiment. If you like the sounds, you can check it out on the blog. We're going to post a bunch of the tracks he's played at thecopyrightexperiment.tumblr.com.
Thank you.
This is The Passenger finishing up a track here, almost out of time on the copyright experiment. Up next is Pierre with Oral Tentacles. He's going to take you through the night from midnight to 6 a.m. We're going to round out the show pretty quick here. Jesse, why don't you throw on another track and we'll put it on for the rest of the show.
CITR, CITR Radio 101, 101.